Hello, Cleaning Nation. It is time to have some fun, soak up some wisdom, and find everything you need to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, if you're far better off as a member of Cleaning Nation, hook us up with some love on iTunes with a 5-star rating and a positive review. Feel free to share with Twitter, Facebook, subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, you know all the good stuff. Show you are a proud member of Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Arturo Garcia from American Maintenance and Supplies. American Maintenance and Supplies serves several counties in New York and New Jersey with commercial cleaning services. Arturo was also awarded the Yes Rising Star Award from ISSA in 2016. If you want to reach out to Arturo and his team, you can hold them at www.ammaint.com. Arturo, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you, my friend. So I got to be honest with you. I've not heard of said Yes Rising Star from ISSA, but it sounds important. How'd that all come about?
Well, basically, there was a form filled out. I just did an application. It's a young executive society for ISSA. And I guess they screened a bunch of candidates and they picked three from the North America. And that was one of them.
Beautiful. And from what I hear, they also referred you to be on the show. So you apparently you're the ISSA is picking up what you're laying down, my friend.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess they're recommending me as a rising star. So it was a great accomplishment. And it was great to go to the ISSA show in Chicago and, attend everything, got to see the whole convention itself. And then the three of us got presented an award towards the end of the conference. So it was a great time.
Beautiful. That's glad to have you on the show, man. I mean, we were before, but now I feel like I got to call you sir or something now that I know you're important.
Right. Yeah. No, just normal guy, but it was kind of, it did give us some credibility and it was fun to say that, actually one of the points that came up pretty good, I was able to get a picture with Steve Wozniak from Apple.
Nice.
So I feel like I'm projecting myself into the more, I sound like a bigger person than I am, especially with the pictures.
Hey, I'd love to. I've never got a picture with Woz, but I'd love to. For all of you that are going, ISSA, what on God's earth is that? Why are they talking? ISSA, I think, stands for International Sanitary Supply Association, but it is kind of the big trade organization for for both janitorial supply companies and owners of cleaning companies. So if you're not familiar, check them out. They're awesome. I'll put a link in the show notes page. And then also we had them on the show and they did a fantastic show on the value of association. So I'll put a link to that as well. Check both of those out. So Arturo, tell us about how'd you get in the cleaning business, my friend?
I basically came out of IT. I worked in IT for a while in Manhattan and ended up joining into the family business where I ended up taking over. My grandfather started the business about 40 years ago. And, he basically did the whole thing on his own. He started out in the Waldorf Astoria. Basically as a janitor or in the janitorial department and broke out on his own and started his own company where he still works today. He's about 88 years old.
That's awesome.
Still comes around and tells me what to do, which is great.
Hey, that's what grandfathers are for. That is so cool. What an awesome legacy you have, my friend.
Right. No, it is great. And then, like I said, he taught me, basically everything I know. So it's, he has that whole commercial atmosphere. With the business, we know all the bigger procedures, but then we're also just a family-owned company. So we kind of feel like we have both ends of the spectrum there.
Beautiful. I appreciate you kind of giving us a little opportunity to get to know you and your company. Tell me how I can help you today, man. How can I make your life just a little bit better?
Well, our biggest thing is that we find out that we're kind of like a in-betweener where we're not one of those big cleaning companies with their own sales department. And then we're also not what you would say the mom-and-pop type of business where we're kind of looking for the smaller accounts. So basically what I'm looking for is how do I get in front of the decision maker for the bigger properties or the mid-level properties or customers themselves?
Great question. Give me, just so I know, because mid-level and bigger means different things to different people. Give me an idea of square footage you're looking for.
Sure. We look anywhere between, it's a big range to be honest with you, from anywhere between 10,000 and 300,000 square feet.
That is a nice sweet spot. I like the at least 10,000 because you can get two cleaners in there 5 nights a week. They're there a couple hours. Beautiful, beautiful gig. Okay. So first of all, great question. The quality of the question really kind of dictates the quality of the feedback I'm going to give you. The big thing I work with my one-on-one clients on, or even the accelerator members, is to transition from going and chasing and hunting and kind of killing it and dragging it home to creating things that make them want to call you? So first and foremost, I try to move away from how do I get to the decision maker? How do I find them? How do I go after them? Not that you can't do that, but I like to have the bulk of my work would be them coming to me. Like this podcast is a perfect example. I don't do any marketing. I don't do any cold calling. I didn't call Arturo and said, "Hey, Arturo, give me a bunch of money. I'll help you grow a cleaning company." We're just creating amazing content. We create this content and a lot of people come to me. And when they come to me, they're already sold. They've already spent hours with me on the phone, or not on the phone, but listening to me on the podcast. They know me, they trust me, and they want to do business with me. So I'm not saying you should start a podcast, not that you couldn't, but I am saying, instead of cold calling them or direct or kind of going to them, I would create content that is appealing to them and try and get them to come to you. Are you comfortable with that foundational shift before I move on?
Sure, definitely.
Okay, cool. The best way to do that is to start building the relationship before they bid. This is kind of the second piece to that build content that they're going to be interested in. When I speak, I've got a whole iceberg thing that I think I've given on the podcast once or twice before, where we talk about, if you can just picture an iceberg, obviously with the little tip at the beginning and the larger part hidden below the water, the tip of the iceberg is I put one little C for customer in the little iceberg, and then all around the air around the iceberg is all these janitorial companies trying to bid that one guy, right? There's just dozens of them, it feels like, trying to bid for this one little customer. Below the water, it's reversed. There's all these customers inside that big part of the iceberg, and just you, maybe one or two other people, but oftentimes just you is trying to bid to them. And I ask people, where would you like to be? You want to be at the top of the iceberg where there's 20 other people trying to bid this one poor guy, or you'd like to be at the bottom of the iceberg where you've got dozens or hundreds of people that you're talking to and bidding on, and you're the only one bidding? And obviously people want to see the bottom. So the reason I go through all that is the top of the iceberg is the people that poke out their head and said, "Hey, I would like a janitorial bid today." By the time you get there, I don't want to say you're too late, because you can certainly get work that way, but it's generally not the most profitable work. It's generally not the best, most loyal customers. It's the bottom of the barrel. Below the iceberg where you want to be is where they're going to be making a decision to change janitorial service in the next 12 months, but they've not popped up their head above the water and said, "Hey, I'm looking." You're going to be in almost every market of the United States, either the only one or one of two or three that's got that ongoing conversation, because everyone else wants an instant gratification and they're looking to only look at the people that are bidding now. I'm going to encourage you to start that conversation with people that are going to be looking in the next 12 years. So when it comes time, they never even pop their head above water to get those 12 bidders or 24 bidders, they call you and say, "Hey, Arturo, we've been talking, or I've been getting your podcast or your blog or your newsletter or whatever, or attending your lunch and learns or whatever media or method you've used to build this relationship. And we're looking to make a change in our janitorial service. Could you help us through that process?" Do you see how that's very different than someone putting out an RFP for 30 different people and, you know, three different bidders and all that sort of stuff?
Right. No, definitely. And I'm not a fan of cold calling because I don't like it done myself. So I totally understand your approach that way.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you should never cold call, and people use telemarketers and get good results, so please don't hear me saying it doesn't work. I'm just saying I don't like doing it. That's not how I'm gonna, and certainly as you get into the larger accounts, you're exactly right. It's not just you, it's every facilities manager, vendor that's trying to get in there. And if you're, you know, calling and doing all the other stuff that they're doing, not that it can't work, it's just, why make life hard? So let's talk about a couple different mediums you could use to build this. Because if you're tracking with me, the next question hopefully is, well, that sounds awesome. How do I do that? How do I start that conversation? How do I build it? Is that fair? Or am I making stuff up for you?
No, definitely. That's it. That would be the next thing.
Okay, cool. So the first thing is the website. A lot of people with the website have either no call to action or 37 different calls to action and no real good reason why anyone should do it. And I haven't been to your website, so if any of this is you, I promise I'm not picking on you, Arturo. But I just coach every day, and this is everybody. So what you want to have is one clear call to action. So you don't want sign up for a newsletter, follow us on Twitter, call us on the phone, fill out this form, email us today, click here for a discount. That's when people get confused, they take no action. When they're clear and simple and they know exactly what they're supposed to do, and more importantly, why they're supposed to do it, how it's going to benefit them, now they're to a space where they can take action. So there's a couple ways you can go about it. First could just be the typical call for a bid, right? And now we're kind of looking above the iceberg, people that are right now, not what I'd recommend. Second would be sign up for our newsletter or call now for a free estimate. Like that's kind of too much too soon. They've been on your website 19 seconds. They've got probably, I was trying to be facetious, but it's probably been closer to 3 or 4 seconds. They've got 4 tabs open. They're on 9 other websites. They've got email they're checking. And when you say, "Hey, you know, click here, call here," so a salesperson can call bug you, you know, if you've got that on your site, you get very little, if any, response from that. So we want to change that to giving them a gift or giving them some sort of something to make them raise their hand as a qualified candidate. So for you, you might use something like 10 ways your janitorial cleaning company is stealing from you. And then they give you their name and email information. And you email them that 10 ways. So that does a couple things. First of all, you can make it up, right? 8 things you need to know before you hire a new cleaning company. 7 ways that you can save money through facilities management. Like, make up anything that find your customer's biggest pain and then turn that into a solution and solve it for them. And a couple things are going to happen. First, right. If I go to your website as a podcast host, I'm probably not going to download that, right? So you're not going to waste a lot of time marketing people, sure. Or if I've got a little tiny company or if I'm residential looking for maid service or whatever, I'm not going to download. If I do download that, I've just raised my hand saying, I'm very interested in what it is that you're looking for, right? Most people aren't just going to do that unless they're that's who they're looking for. Does that sound right?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Cool. Second piece of that is you can start teaching them how to buy, right? So if you say things like, 5 things you must know before you hire another janitorial service or before you change janitorial services, you can, I'm guessing if you got in front of that client, hopefully you're not just going, we're the best, we've been in business forever, our employees, you know, we clean better than anyone else, and saying the same nonsense everyone else is saying. Hopefully you've got some differentiating factors, like all of our people are background checked, we do drug checks, they have picture ID so that you know who's in your office. We've got $1 million over, you know, we got a $5 million umbrella policy, whatever the case may be. We've got written systems and procedures. All you're going to do is reverse engineer that and educate them how to buy. So if you've got workers' comp, you might say, make sure before anyone bids for you, they provide workers' comp. Well, now you've just eliminated 20% of your competition. Make sure that they have name badges. Well, you know that you have name badges. Make sure they have picture name badges so you know who's in your deal. Make sure they've got policies and procedures that they're going to provide for you. Make sure that they've got a satisfaction guarantee. So you're teaching them how to buy. So when it comes time for them to make that decision, they're going to call you just like we talked about as a consultant, as opposed to putting out to bid for 30 different people. And they might even say, if they do go out to bid, they might even call you and say, hey, Arturo, I read your 5 things I need to know before you bid. Could you look at my other bids and give me your feedback? Isn't that a far better place than, hey, sharpen your pencil and show me the best you got?
Oh, definitely. Because I hate being on the other end where they just give me a spec and I don't know who they are really or never met them, but they want a price, you know?
Exactly. So, that's like I said.
That would definitely be a lot better way.
At that point, it's almost too late, right? I'm not saying you wouldn't go on that bid. I'm just saying that's going to be the crumbs. That's going to be the leavings. I learned early when I was doing government contracting, if you are bidding after this, if you just like you said, they give you the spec and you're one of the many bidders, not a good place to be. You want to be writing the spec with them. And guess what? You're going to write the spec, so you're the only guy that qualifies. And you're going to do the same thing when you educate your customer on how to buy janitorial service. And of course, you can't lie, right? Obviously, these have to be truthful things that actually do bring value to them. But and then once you start that conversation with the lead magnet, that's not the end of it. You're going to have, you know, and this takes time to build, right? At first, it might be a 3 email sequence where, you know, you say, hey, welcome to our little family. Here's the 5 steps that you look for. Let me know if you have a chance, email me back and let me know the biggest pain that you have dealing with cleaning companies. And then 3 days, and this is all automated, right? 3 days later, they might get something saying, hey, we're taking a survey on this. What do you think about this? 3 days later, they might get, hey, I was just featured on the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. Check out this link. I think you'll like it. 3 days later, they might get, so there's going to be a system where you're constantly, you write an email once or a sequence of emails that might be 5 or 10 or 20 or 100 long that they get every 2 to 7 days. That you're going to continue that conversation. And what happens is you start building a list of a couple thousand people, that what happens is now you're below the iceberg. You've got a couple thousand people that you've got automated email sequences going out to that you're constantly communicating with them, even though you're not doing the work. And then if you do want to do something special, like when you get, so those all happen in the background automated because you write the emails once and they just go out periodically. But in addition to that, you layer it with, hey, I just won the Yes Award. You can shoot a one-off email to all 2,000 people on your list or however many have. Hey, we just had the Yes Award to celebrate. We're doing a free audit on your sanitary supplies to let you know if there's any money that you can save there. And then you send that out to 2,000 people. I guarantee you get 3 or 4 people that have already downloaded your lead magnet. They've already listened to the podcast that you're on. They've already been engaging with you in this automated fashion. 3 or 4 are going to go, yeah, come give me that audit. And do you see how that's that? And them inviting you out to do an audit that you offered after you've already educated them for the last 6 months is far more powerful than you showing up to bid an RFP with 12 other idiots.
Definitely. Yeah, exactly. And like you said, when you're just one of those 12 other people, you can kind of tell you are. And you can see the person that's probably already been with them for 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. And trying to usurp that guy is a bear. So the lead magnet is a great place to start. There's a lot of different ways to do it. Like I said, I do zero marketing. I do this podcast and I get probably more people wanting to work with me and have time to work with them. So podcasts are great. You can do a YouTube channel. You can create a blog. There's lots of different ways that you can engage with your community. But the goal is to build a list of people that have raised their hand and said, I am interested in what you do, and have an automated way to communicate with them periodically, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a month, adding value, right? You don't sell. Don't be like, hey, let us come out and bid now. Hey, want to bid? Hey, free bid. They're going to unsubscribe from your list and you're going to upset them.
Right.
You're just educating them, right? On this podcast, not once have I said, hey, Cleaning Nation, you should pay me. I mean, I'm sure we've allured to go to the website or whatever, but that's not what this is. This is just providing a bunch of information. And guess what? People will self-select. I put out this podcast and 9 months from now, some guy in the UK might call and go, hey, Mike, I'm dying for some help. I heard what you said with Arturo. Help me implement that in my business. But I did it 9 months ago. I've already forgotten. So start with the lead magnet on your website. Move towards creating other content and other ways that you can engage with their audience. Once you build a list of a couple thousand people that have opted into your list and you're able to communicate with, you really won't be doing any cold calling. You'll barely be able to keep up if you don't have a sales force with people asking you to come consult or talk with them or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that sounds great. It sounds like a good plan and something I'd rather do instead of cold calling, because I'm kind of with you. Not something I like doing.
Yeah, it's not a lot of fun. And again,
I'd rather...
Go ahead.
No, I'm sure it's what everyone would want, but I'd rather the person that's actively looking or at least someone to have a relationship with that. When they're ready, then yeah, sure, go ahead, contact me and we can go forward with it, you know?
Yeah, the difference is finding someone and trying to convince them to do something they don't want, i.e. cold calling and trying to get them to talk to you on the phone when they don't want to talk to you and buy something that they don't want to buy and interrupting their day, versus cultivating a list of people who want to call you when they're ready. It's night and day. All right. Any other questions or thoughts before we hit the lightning round, my friend?
No.
Cool. Let's do it. We're going to hit the lightning round. I'm going to give Arturo 3 quick questions. He is going to give 3 amazing answers. I'm going to be quiet and give him an opportunity to share his experience and knowledge of Cleaning Nation. Question number 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, business or personal, Arturo?
I would say, as being an owner, just make sure you understand no one else will act like an owner. You know, it's basically you got to own it yourself, because everyone else is an employee. They'll see it that way, that, you know, it's just a paycheck for them. Or they might be a little better than that, but no one really values yourself like yourself, kind of, that kind of thing.
That's a harsh truth, my friend, but a truth nevertheless. Question number 2, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business, so we can all save ourselves the time and headache of making the same mistake?
You know what? One of the best things that I go by is, you know, you're in cleaning. It's simple. The stuff's dirty, you clean it. But a real value is creating processes and, you know, a list of things on and procedures on how to do things. Because when you're dealing with, you know, your future employee or whatever, if you could just make it as clean, cut, and dry so they don't really have to worry about anything else, it makes everything run much smoother.
Couldn't agree more. Well said, my friend. All right, last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away? Something immediately implementable that will help improve their life or their business?
I'd probably go back to the you know, list of processes. You know, when you're up at night and you're the business owner, or you're sitting there doing something, one of the simplest things to do is just create a list of bullet points for almost everything you do, where I'm probably going to botch the term or the saying, but, you know, you want to be able to clone yourself, not replace yourself, that kind of thing, but be able to kind of have a whole thing where you can make your own company run itself.
Well said. Love it, man. Well said. All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Arturo. I really appreciate you sharing your insight, your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Arturo's show notes page, get all the links that we mentioned to discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.